When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This episode contains discussion around sexual abuse. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon. That really?
He's the inventor of the flush toilet. Yeah, John Crapper.
No, you're kidding.
I'm looking.
No, I'm serious. I'm not
John
joking.
Crapper is the inventor of the flush toilet.
John Crapper, Thomas. Stop. He was.
Oh, that's why crap is crap.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Mary Kay Letourneau case. Here's what you need to know.
Mary Kay Letourneau, the teacher who slept with a student.
I was her second grade student. I thought she was very pretty. I thought she was like a movie star.
It didn't stop with a kiss, and I thought that it would, and it didn't.
Mary Kay Letourneau was a 34-year-old elementary school teacher who in 1996 began having a sexual relationship with one of her 12-year-old students, Vili Folau. Her actions and their subsequent relationship lasted over 20 years and 2 prison terms. Letourneau was born Mary Catherine Schmitz on January 30, 1962. She met Steve Letourneau when the two were studying together at the University of Arizona. The young couple got married and moved to Alaska before settling in a suburb of Seattle, where they raised 4 children together. Mary would later say she felt pressured by her parents to marry Steve. The Letourneaus' marriage was anything but perfect. They reportedly faced financial hardships and had separate extramarital affairs. There were also instances of domestic abuse. Police were called to the house, and Mary Kay made more than 1 trip to the hospital. Despite these reports, no formal charges were ever filed. In the summer of 1996, Letourneau, who had been teaching second and sixth grade at Shorewood Elementary School, began to make sexual advances toward Vili Folau. Folau was just 12 years old at the time, about the same age as her oldest son, Stephen Jr. During this time, Folau would come over to the Letourneau house, where Mary Kay would encourage him in his academic and artistic endeavors. Although on the outside it looked like a normal teacher-student relationship, everything changed in February of 1997 when Steve Letourneau found love letters from his wife to Folau. Unsure what to do, Steve told a friend about the letters, and the friend reported them to the police and school board. This discovery shed light on a previous event where police found Letourneau and Folau in a minivan together at 1:20 a.m. Letourneau was arrested on March 4, 1997, and was charged with second-degree rape of a child. At the time, she was pregnant with Folau's baby. She was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison, but after agreeing not to contact Folau, she only had to serve 6 months. Only a few weeks after being released from prison, police once again found the two of them in a car together. Apparently, they had planned to run away because in the car with them, they found baby clothes, passports, and cash. After this, the judge revoked the original plea deal, and Mary Kay was forced to serve 7.5 years in prison. She gave birth to their second child while behind bars, though custody of their two children was given to Folau's mother. Letourneau was released from prison in 2004. And incredibly, Folau, who was now 21, had the no-contact order against her reversed, and the two got married. Through their years together as adults, they were at the center of tremendous media scrutiny, including public interviews and a TV movie. In 2020, Mary Kay died of cancer. Despite having been divorced for a year and separated for 3 years, she left the majority of her estate to Folau, who was by her side when she passed away. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. Their first child was born in 1997 as she awaited sentencing after pleading guilty to charges of second-degree child rape. Steve Letourneau divorced Mary in 1999 while she was in prison. Also in 1999, Mary Kay was placed in solitary confinement after it was found that she had been writing Vili in prison. Mary and Vili had two children together before he turned 15. Though Mary remained a registered sex offender in Washington state, in August 2004, she was released from prison and she, then 42, and Folau, then 20, successfully had their court-mandated no-contact order lifted. Mary and Vili divorced in 2019 after nearly 15 years of marriage. A year later, Letourneau died of colon cancer at age 58. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is award-winning journalist, author, and co-host of the podcast In Retrospect, Jessica Bennett. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're very excited to have you on the show. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast just to get things going?
Yeah, today's episode will be a good entree. We look back at moments from the 80s and 90s that we grew up on that look a little bit differently in retrospect. So tabloid stories, pop culture moments, you know, Pamela Anderson's red swimsuit on Baywatch, which spawned a generation of plastic surgery, that kind of thing. And we go real, real deep into that.
That's great. I love that concept. That really resonates with me.
Sure, we all have those moments.
Yes.
And exactly. We all have those moments. And this is just a biggie for that as well. We like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
I mean, like my embryos that are apparently people now.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
I mean, I'm not in Alabama, but that's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
Alarming, if you will.
It's alarming. I still, in my you know, sickness, fog, have not even had a moment to like even begin to comprehend.
Yeah. Well, it's okay because I don't think people totally know.
Nobody.
Like wrapping my mind around that is really, and being sick at the same time is like really messing with me.
Yeah.
You're in a bad dream.
It's weird and confusing.
Well, oh, that's such a perfect transition here.
Speaking of babies, speaking of children.
Speaking of children.
Killing babies.
This case is very much like your podcast, one of those where I feel like I have memories of seeing photos of Mary Kay and Billy, like across People magazine, you know, and at the time being like, that is a very odd photo.
Because what is a child?
It is a child with an adult, and they're, you know, and even when like the photos of them getting married, I feel like that also made a big splash in the tabloids. And it's still, I don't know. I'm assuming everyone felt that way, like it was odd, but now as we look back, we're like, that was quite literally very criminal. It was
right. I think that's exactly it, right? Like, we thought it was sort of weird, but like we couldn't look away from it then. I don't know how old you were at the time. I was in high school. Now we're like, oh wow, that was rape.
I must have been almost, I was the same age, maybe around the same age as Billy when it was all happening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So also weird.
Very strange.
Yeah. 96, we would have been 14.
Why don't we start with a timeline? Because I love a timeline. It's the summer of 96. Letourneau, then 34, begins a sexual relationship with her former sixth grade student, Billy, who's 12. 12.
Right.
I know. I mean, even the difference between 12 and 14, I feel like 12 is still like you have maybe one of those little kind of creepy mustache things that like kids get.
If you're lucky.
But like it's not full. Like that's not like, yeah.
I mean, you're not even a teen. You're literally not a teen.
You're a tween. That's the tween.
And maybe haven't even gone through puberty, or like maybe are going through. Like maybe your voice is cracking. That's cool.
You're in sixth grade. You're in middle school. 14. You're in high school. 12. You're probably sixth or seventh grade. So then, the relationship eventually is discovered in February of 1997, and Letourneau is arrested for rape. May 1997, Mary gives birth to the couple's first child, a daughter named Audrey. So when she's arrested, she's already, I believe, 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
Right.
This is August 1997. Letourneau pleads guilty to 2 counts of second-degree child rape. The judge ordered her to serve 6 months in jail and attend a treatment program and to have no contact with Billy. This is February 3rd, 1998. After being released from jail, Letourneau was discovered in a parked car with Billy and arrested for violating the conditions of her suspended sentence. This is months after.
This was after she got out of prison for the first time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to jail, and then she's released in 2004 after serving 7.5 years. A judge also then lifts the ban prohibiting her from contacting Billy, and by then he's an adult. I believe he's 21. Mm-hmm. 2005.
And she has her second child during that second stint of prison, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Correct. So when
how
she's,
did that happen? Did she get pregnant when she was out of jail?
I think you get conjugal visits.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that she got, it's also possible she got pregnant during that, like a few months between.
before he went back to before she went
is
back.
That even possible if she was 6 months pregnant and was only well, in she jail had already for had
the
months.
First she had already had the first clean she
no of course but I'm just thinking like well, that was really soon after she gave yes. birth and then she's out of and then she got pregnant. Oh wow
I don't
and they gave her a really like small time like they gave her a really lenient time on the first round because they were like you can never contact this boy again blah right, blah 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 right. blah. And so she only served I think 6 months or something and then once she gets out and immediately. They're like okay sorry lady
and we're back
and then they're married in May of 2005 okay. And she's 43 and he's 22
okay
so I feel like we should start off by putting Mary Kay Letourneau up on the board.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. I think there's what room do you for
seems,
her.
That seems fair.
We can't miss the biggies in this one.
No,
this one
and we just won't. Can't. We won't. So a little background on who she is and what her childhood was like. She's the daughter of a senator who has portrayed himself as this king of morality. He later.
Oh, I don't think I remembered that.
Yeah. So he was, they were a very conservative family. He later runs for president as a far right Republican candidate.
And, oh my gosh, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah. So very much a family in the spotlight. Her mother was very like the quintessential 50s, you know, housewife vibe.
Nuclear
Catholic, very religious. So religious that Mary Kay is taken out of sex ed classes in school because that's one of her father's like platforms. You know, he didn't believe in sex ed in, you know, public
get
school.
It up on the board
right what are we the parents the or no sex ed
I mean we should put the parents
but then that is just this, the yeah go ahead Jessica
where this was in Washington State
so I believe this is actually California because she
okay
she is born in Tustin California and I believe she grows up there until she's about 11 and she does do some time in Washington D.C. because he's going back and forth, and so this, from my understanding, it's not in Seattle. Can you look, Chris? Can you just confirm that?
Wait, sorry, which the district her
where she grew up? Yeah, what her dad's
yeah.
That sounds
yeah, I think
right.
It's California.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So this is he's very religious. He takes her out of sex ed. And, you know, she's taught from a very early age that a woman's place is in the home. Very classic, you know, for the time. Age 11, her younger brother, who is a toddler at the time, falls into her home's pool and drowns. So the very tragic event. She's one of seven children. Her friends, there's this documentary, where her friends are interviewed and they say that the mother blamed Mary Kay for this accident, for not having, kept an eye on her sibling.
Was she one of the older siblings? I'm guessing like
she
Mary
was,
Kay?
I believe she was number four out of seven.
Oh, okay.
So, but she was I think she might have a sister after her, but she was the eldest daughter.
Oh, okay.
She also has, around this time, tells her friend that she is being molested by one of her older brothers, but she never specifies which one. High school and college, if you look at photos of her, she is very, very beautiful. She's very popular. She, you know, loves to party. She you know, dates a lot. So she's... Well, you know, not living a double life, but, you know, what her parents think, you know, how her parents think her life should go is very different than what she's kind of living. Her father is then caught in this scandal, which I think we should talk about. And
yeah,
let's put the, you know, the public family scandal up on the board.
Okay.
This is from an article in Vox. Letourneau came from a large family, one of seven children born to white, wealthy, privileged, extremely conservative parents. Her father, an Orange County politician named John Schmitz, was notorious for his anti-Semitic, homophobic, misogynistic public remarks. He was banned from the notably extremist John Birch Society for being too extremist. Letourneau's father was embroiled in a sex scandal with a student. In the late 70s or early 80s, Schmitz, who was then in his 50s, was teaching government at Santa Ana College when he began sleeping with one of his students, then in her 40s. The two had a multi-year affair that resulted in the birth of two children. In 1982, the affair came to light after a bizarre incident in which one of Schmitz's two children, by his student, was taken to the hospital because hair had become tightly wrapped around his penis. So tightly, it was almost severed. The resulting investigation forced his mother to confess who the boy's father was, a revelation that severely damaged Schmitz's political career.
What? This is the craziest Whoa. Thing I've heard.
So he has this affair. He has this double. He's essentially living a double life. He has right. a secret family. And once it comes to light, he totally disowns them, but just does not take any responsibility for the children. I think ends up only having to pay like $275 in child support, like a month, you know. So essentially he just gets away with it.
Right. To me, there's like a very clear parallel between the sort of outward facing persona character that her father played and this like secret life that he had that he couldn't talk about because of his, you know, who he was in sort of society,
public eye.
And Mary Kay, you know, sort of doing a similar thing in the sense of like she's this teacher and she's this pillar of the community. And she has this like deep, dark secret. I mean, I draw a direct line. I mean, we got to put the father up.
John,
on the board. He's on there, right?
I'm up now.
The big thing that happens is that in college, she starts dating this guy, Steve Letourneau. He's, you know, by all accounts, just a guy she's dating. And she gets pregnant. And of course, the family's reaction is you have to marry this guy.
Right.
And she does. And from everything I've read, you know, it was a rocky relationship. It was also like economically hard for the couple because he worked as a baggage handler, I believe, in at an airport. They had four children. And then she like quickly realizes that she's going to have to go back to school and starts training to be a teacher and eventually becomes I think they both worked, so she wasn't the only supporter in the family, but
seems like that sex ed could have really helped Mary Kay.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, at least not to get pregnant. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
I know. Jeez.
It was a bad day to skip class.
Was she super religious herself? Like, was there like a religious element to her, like having or wanting kids and, you know, not?
I don't know. Nothing I read points to that. I'm sure religious as, you know, socially, I'm not sure. I don't think she was like super extreme.
Yeah, it didn't come up in anything that I'd come across. That she was particularly religious.
So, do you think we should put religion up on the board? Catholicism.
Sure. I mean, always, yeah. Right?
I mean,
I mean,
hypocrisy, religious hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I like that.
I feel like we should also talk. So she becomes this teacher and she, by all accounts, she is one of the favorites. So she's a really good teacher. She all of her students really love her, and she starts teaching second grade. And so Vili is actually in her second grade class. And then again, he is her student when he's in sixth grade. And that's when the grooming starts. That's when things and I feel like we should put up taking advantage of his family situation.
Okay, Billy's.
Right.
Wait, have we talked about his family situation?
Yeah, what is the situation?
Let's talk about it. So his mom is a single mom. His dad is in jail. Here, let me read a little an excerpt. This is again from Vox. Because Folau, a Samoan American, was a minor, his identity was withheld for most of the 90s, which meant the narrative of their relationship was entirely dominated by Letourneau's version of it, and she portrayed them as star-crossed soulmates who just couldn't help themselves. She ascribed impossible traits to Folau when she met him in second grade, gushing to the Seattle Times that she somehow recognized in the child a mutual respect, an insight, a spirit, an understanding between us that grew over time. I just can't get past that she's saying this about a second grader. It's like, it's so disturbing.
Wait, was she talking about him as a second grader? Or yes. Is that when he became a sixth grader? That
regardless.
Either way.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but.
But yeah. It says here when she met him in second grade, gushing to the Seattle Times.
Gotcha.
Letourneau described lavishing Folau with attention, giving him special focus as a teacher, taking him on trips, showering him with gifts. By the time Folau entered her class again as a sixth grader, he was my best friend. We just walked together in the same rhythm. Letourneau gave a similar narrative to Oprah, insisting that Folau had called to her and that he was the love of my life. So the grooming really was started very, very young. Apparently he was a very talented at painting and drawing. And so she really kind of like focused on that. His situation at home was such that his mom was always working. And so she was happy that a teacher was taking interest.
Right.
In her child and really helping him pursue this talent.
Guys, I think we should blame art for bringing people together.
Art? The power of art.
The power of art is so strong. I mean, let's put it up on the board.
So at first, when the calls start coming in, right, when they get caught in that, in the back of the van by a patrol, the police officer calls the Vili's mom and says, "We found your child." And she says, "Take him back to Mary Kay's house." So she like there's like a denial. There's like a lack of understanding of what is happening on his family's part.
That's after she's released from jail, or that's before?
That's before. Before it comes to light that they're having a relationship.
She's protecting
him. Just a really good teacher or something going above and beyond.
She's taking an interest in him.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult because, you know, how do you not trust a teacher and pillar of the community? You know, I think there's one thing is... There's one thing to say you need to be a part of your child's life and to know what's going on with them. But it's another thing to, you know, be in a situation where there's this sort of mentor figure and, you know, presuming there's something untoward going on. I don't know. It's hard for me to blame.
What time of day was it?
I don't think we should blame his family. I mean,
yeah, I don't think we should blame his family.
I think what I'm saying is that she took advantage of a situation, as many predators do. You know.
I see. Okay.
What time of day was it when he was in? Like, was this like regular date, like school time, or late night?
Late at night.
Yeah.
Here's something I want to say that maybe I don't think it's maybe it's controversial, but if as a parent, Clayton, if my child is discovered with, I think gender plays a part in this. If a male teacher is caught with a student in a car, red flags immediately.
Yeah.
Right.
If a female teacher is caught with a student in the car, I'm kind of like, okay, what's going on there? And maybe I just feel like because historically you don't hear about a lot of like female sexual predators. So perhaps like that is what the parents were thinking too. Like, oh, I wonder if something happened. Like why versus like, why the hell would my child be in a male teacher's car at night? Like that to me is like, is that,
I think that's such a good, such a good point. And I think double standards should go.
Yes.
Because that plays out through the entirety of this thing. It's like, it's sexy when it's a woman teacher and not predatory. And we'll get to that in the timeline, but in the press, especially like this becomes a thing that every late night host is joking about, sort of like, well, honestly, he's pretty lucky. Like he got to fuck the hot teacher.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was exactly as Clayton said, if it was a male teacher and a female student, I think we would think about it really differently.
I think we should put up on the board, like, I don't know if it's a lack of awareness of female predators or like a
underestimating
maybe. Yeah, this is from,
I think it comes up with like the female serial killer concept that we've talked about a couple of times, where we just, people assume that like women are just like, we're doting little, like perfect, whatever. It's like, no, they are complex human beings as well.
And possible of committing horrendous crimes. Like this is from a Rolling Stones article. Yet there's still an unspoken assumption that such assaults are somehow less severe or damaging to the victim than if the gender dynamic were reversed. Female sexual predators in teacher-student cases face far less punitive sentences than male sexual predators, according to a 2013 analysis, and judges continue to make elaborate justifications for such sentences, with one British judge telling a babysitter who sexually abused an 11-year-old, quote, it was quite clear he was as a mature 11-year-old, and you were an immature 20-year-old, so that narrows the arithmetic age gap between you. While few publications would dare to put an idyllic photo of a convicted predator on the cover, we still have a long way to go in terms of our understanding of the complex dynamics of sexual abuse.
How do you want to encapsulate that then for the board? What do we call that?
Right. What do we call that? It's just a gap in the culture too. You know, it's like, we don't,
I mean, there's just so many problematic layers to that, because there's the, you know, sexualizing of a child, right there's the idea that kids can be mature or adult. Like a kid is a kid, right? It doesn't matter how how smart they are or how mature they come off.
Maybe it's just like good old-fashioned sexism, like the idea that we treat it, you know, to Jessica's earlier point, like the way we treat it or view it is somehow like justifiable with one, or like, oh, well, it's a female, so probably was less the double traumatic. Standard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, predator, I guess. Yeah. Predator double standards.
Sure.
What about spinning predatory behavior as romance?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I feel like we haven't gotten to the media yet. But I actually blame that on the media.
All right.
So do you want to put 90s media up on the board?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, or we can talk about it. And then
I would like to talk about it.
And then you can decide. But yeah, I think this in so many ways was depicted both in the mainstream press, like the New York Times, but also in the tabloid press as, like you said earlier, Rebecca, star-crossed lovers. Like MSNBC did a special segment at the time called Predator or Lover? ?
Wow.
As if that was like a real question that we had today. Like the articles at the time would quote both sides of the debate. Like they would say like, well, on one side we have the da 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 da, and on the other side, it's like, there's not really both sides of this debate. And then even the Times, my employer, called it a sexual affair repeatedly. Like they used that language. It wasn't this was not a sexual affair. This was statutory rape.
Right.
Wow. So, whatever the public went in thinking, I think that this really zeroed in on how we perceived it. And I think the media should take some blame.
Absolutely. I'm here reading this is another excerpt from Vox. The idea that Letourneau did something understandable and that Folau was actually a lucky kid was bandied about throughout the media of the time. Outlets gleefully reported Vili's claim that he bet a friend $20 that he would have sex with Letourneau, allegedly long before they started sleeping together. The double standard, you know?
That too, because it's like, okay, you know that song, that Van Halen song, Hot for Teacher?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, but yeah.
Big in the 80s and the music video. Yeah.
Like, so, okay, you have the media, but then you also just have the cultural thing of like, yeah, everyone's always trying to bang the hot teacher, right? Like there's a South Park episode about it that's called something like banging hot teacher. I don't know.
Right.
Like it's a punchline. It's not considered something harrowing.
Right.
Yeah, and it's something to strive to. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, yes, if like the guys in my high school wanted to bang the hot female teachers, like that was totally
right. That's like that a was cultural, openly it gender, wasn't yeah
it wasn't looked down upon at all. It was like LOL. And I don't know if you all were Dawson's Creek fans,
huge, yeah. Oh my god,
side note, that is playing out the exact same time this is happening. So on the number one teen show of this era, you have Casey, a teenager,
which was the hook for the start of the show.
It's in the pilot.
Miss Jacobs, his 34-year-old teacher, which they have never said explicitly was based on the Letourneau case, but like so many parallels.
Wow. So
we have to put Dawson's Creek up on the board.
Oh my God, yes.
And we have to put Van Halen up on the board.
Let me just Google to make sure. Is that definitely Van Halen?
I'm 90% sure it is. Yeah.
We should put the freaking music video. Do you remember the music video for that? The teacher is so hypersexualized. She's like stripping in a bikini, like on the desk. It's really ridiculous.
Yes, it is Van Halen. So great.
So it's not even just, I mean, it's the culture, right?
Yeah.
It's the 90s culture. And it does feel, I mean, I guess it is a tale as old as time. Like it's not the first time that teachers are, you know, that banging your teacher, right? That concept comes about, right? But for some reason it feels like
aspirational.
Uh-huh. And it's like very much of the time, like everyone's talking about it. I can't tell if what came first, the case or
culture.
Go ahead, Jessica.
No, I was just gonna, I mean, like, I feel like the 90s were just kind of like sex obsessed, right? Like, so I think this happened before Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, but that happens a couple of years later. And, you know, there's like the infamous Star reports who were all like reading. I mean, I was anyway, like in my high school hallway reading the like scene of him inserting the cigar into like that's like the smut that's going around or whatever. And then you have all those movies in the back. Like that was the era of like what? American Pie, Wild Things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everything is like so sex obsessed.
Right.
And I'm not sure why that is, but
I mean, even of American Pie, it's all about banging the mom.
The mom, right.
MILF. It's like the creation of the MILF emerges in the 90s.
I just keep coming back to this, like it's so gendered to me where it's like something like so cool about like if a young boy wants to have sex with his teacher, he's entitled to that. That's like you flip it and immediately it becomes this like really dark crime, and they're both crimes is the point. Like culture, we're just like, no, but like that, it's like, because it's like adult males' fantasies to have sex with sexy teachers. So why shouldn't the young underage boys also get to do that somehow? Like the psychology behind it is so bizarre.
It's so interesting. Yeah. And it actually like that does play into actual court cases. Like when you look at there have been studies about how defendants and accusers are portrayed, and women tend to get off easier. Like, and this is actually a really good example of that, because the judge gave her just 6 months on the first jailing.
Right. Like a slap on the wrist, essentially.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if that would have been the same with a male teacher who had raped a girl.
No.
No, most certainly would not have been, I don't
think. Like, it's like boys are given or ascribed agency in a way that girls are not when it comes to these kinds of.
And you don't see that in the culture either. Like, there's not the flip Dawson's Creek where it's like a young female student having sex with her male student. Like, it's.
No,
or certainly not in a cool, hot, sexy way. And by the way, like, did you think that that was creepy at the time? Because, like, we all thought it was like pretty hot.
We were like so scandalous. Yeah, they really, they sensationalized it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the whole first season is him in a relationship. I mean, you can't even say it's a relationship.
Like, he looked like he was 20 something.
Well, also, like the actors were all so old, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're like, confusing. It's not that bad. He looks old enough.
Right. I guess that is very confusing. Although Katie Holmes was, I feel like they were of age.
She was of age, but Dawson and Pacey, because I've looked this up, were like older.
Oh my God. I mean, Dawson looks like he's 30.
He looks so, Dawson's so annoying.
But it is also that time where, like, everyone, there was a period in the 80s and 90s where everyone looks like 45.
Yeah, so we should blame casting. If it cast appropriate age, then people would be like, this is disgusting.
I mean, honestly, it would, like, maybe they wouldn't have thought it was disgusting, but it would have been more true to life.
Yes,
like,
really,
as a 12-year-old, looks 12.
Yes.
But we weren't seeing photos of him at the time because his identity was not revealed for so long. But Pacey
did not look like a
12-year-old. Played by Joshua Jackson, who was like 25 or whatever, and looked even older. Anyway.
Okay, we got to put the sex-obsessed 90s up on the board.
Ooh, I love that. I mean, we're running out of time, unfortunately. Like, what else are we...
Okay, what are we forgetting?
Oh.
Well, the
maybe
authorities.
The authorities. Yes. The local authorities. I mean, the elementary school system. Someone, I don't know why.
That nobody noticed anything was off?
Yeah.
Right.
I believe from what I remember, the authorities were notified not by Steve, not by not by the cop who found them. It was like a friend of Steve Letourneau who by then had found letters.
Steve found the letters and then
confronted
them.
As in this like very Billy. In this very like
he confronted Billy not
yes.
Mary
yeah.
Kay
like so like two man to man
wow
like that and, to
but,
me
but then his friend was the one who yes. when Steve told his friend reported it to the
can you
to
imagine
the authorities.
Oh my God,
no, I can't imagine to go to a 12-year-old's house to confront them about
sleeping with your wife.
Wow.
I mean, I guess the authorities, but like, do we really have expectations of the authorities when it comes to cases? I don't.
Right.
I'm more like the culture.
Right.
But I guess that's a pretty big thing to place blame. It's like, I guess these, whatever, this is your show, but they're all so connected. It's like one thing breeds the next thing, breeds the next thing, breeds the next thing. And then we all are sitting around thinking like, yeah, this is normal until the year 2024.
Yeah.
Well, I think I agree with Jessica there about the police, but I gotta say, like, for me, the school, we should take a good close look at the school, because she was a teacher there. That was where they did a lot of their interactions. And if you're a teacher or you're an authority figure in the school, you've got to have your ear to the ground a little bit about this. This is like one of the primary, things you got to protect kids from, I think.
Well, I wonder if there was.
Go ahead. I was just going to defend teachers for a minute and be like, it's a public school.
Sure.
Is it a poor? I grew up in Seattle. So it's like, this is a relatively low income area of the state.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they're being asked to do a million things.
Yeah.
At my high school in Seattle, there were multiple teachers fucking multiple students.
Really? Oh, geez.
At, you know, in actually all different configurations.
Right, right.
Anyway, so yes, if they mm-hmm. knew, they should have done more. But I guess sometimes I'm like, these poor teachers, like now they're asked yeah. to be like,
under-resourced.
Yeah.
Right. I
guess well, I was just going to say, I wonder how much like training or even conversation right. during the time there was. Like nowadays, there's a lot about like protection of minors training that all educators have to go through in order to like even interact with underage students. I don't know how much of that was actually going on, or maybe that training is now the result of cases like this, you know?
At my school, it took the students and the student newspaper to expose the male teacher that was sleeping with male students.
Wow.
Molesting wow. male students. And certainly the administration had to have known about it.
Wow.
Wow.
Good for those students.
I know.
And that's also amazing. I mean, I keep thinking about the word community and just like how important it is as a community that we all kind of take care of each other and mm-hmm. just have our eyes peeled. I mean, I know that it's like, it's a complicated idea, you know, because it can also backfire in ways where people are accused of things that they are not doing. Right. And I think that race and bias and gender and all those things come into play. But I just feel like so many people failed this poor 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, it is worth noting that she's a white woman. He is of Samoan descent. He comes from a poor house. Like that, like to what extent is classism, racism, yeah. or like racial mm-hmm. dynamic? Like we're not taking his story seriously. We're like adultifying him.
Yeah.
In right. a way that children of color often tend
absolutely.
To be.
Right.
So. I
Do
guess,
we put that on the board?
Yes.
Like what? It's like racial and gender dynamics. Like both. It's pretty broad. Right. I don't know. But like, or like adultification.
I like the adultification.
Yeah. Of children of color.
Really, yeah.
People,
yeah.
Of boys of color. Because I wonder how this case would have gone down if Vili had been a white boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and certainly if she had not been white and yeah. he had
yes.
been a white boy.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
It, like, you can, like, reverse it in so many ways. Yes. Like, okay, if she was a man and he was, like, yeah. This sort of seems like the ultimate pairing for people right. to dismiss it.
Oh, it's terrible. Right. That is so terrible.
So it's like the specific gender and racial, like, cocktail it's like yeah. that mix kind of made for like a weird
yeah
terrible yeah. scenario.
Exactly what Jessica said of dismissing, like it made it okay to dismiss the crime.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, so I feel like we have a good board. We're gonna take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the board.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay, who's to blame for the Mary Kay Letourneau case? Is it Mary Kay Letourneau, Mary's parents, parents pulling Mary from sex ed, public family scandal, John Schmitz, extremism, Mary Kay's repression, religious hypocrisy, taking advantage of Billy's family situation, the power of art?
Come on.
That made it. Gender double standards, predator double standards, confusing predatory behavior for romance, 90s media, Dawson's Creek, Van Halen, 90s American culture, sex-obsessed 90s, local authorities, elementary school employees, or adultification of children of color.
Okay.
That's a hell of a board.
What a board. I first off, we should take the power of art off the board.
Yes.
Okay. But if he wasn't such a good drawer, maybe none of this would have ever happened.
No, Chris,
that's
no.
Maybe. Okay. I feel like some things can be combined, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Mary's parents, really, like, it's like her family. So Mary's family or like her dad.
Yeah,
I guess her both of them contributed in a very specific way.
So it's like upbringing.
So maybe we just put these three: Schmitz, the public scandal, and Mary's parents all in, or Mary's out of sex into Mary's parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
what about extremism? Do we put extremism into Mary's parents, or is that stands?
I get maybe that's extremism and religious hypocrisy are sort of the same, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do we like?
Maybe it's just religion.
Okay. Yeah. Religious. Yeah.
All
and
right.
Yeah. Sorry, just religion. Straight up religion. That we hypocrisy is implied.
Yeah. So we'll just do religion. Okay.
And we can even fold Mary Kay's repression into religion.
Yeah.
And
true.
Her parents.
And
upbringing.
The parents, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Okay. And then I feel like sex obsessed 90s really includes 90s American culture, Dawson's Creek, Van Halen.
Sure.
I love that. I can't believe Dawson's Creek made it.
Though I do love the idea of blaming Dawson's Creek. Okay. And
what
then,
about 90s media?
Is I think else? Media needs to get its own,
yeah.
its own category. Okay.
Blame, right?
So then maybe we put like confusing predatory behavior for romance into 90s media since they seem to be kind of pushing
yeah,
that.
Perpetuating it, sure.
Yes. And I feel like gender doubles, I think just double standards.
Yeah, double standards includes race, gender.
Yes.
It includes adultification stuff.
So we'll just do double standards.
Yeah, just straight up double standards.
And then I guess we have the system.
Yeah.
Maybe the local authorities and elementary school is like they're both part of the system.
I would blame more the local authorities, although because I take your point as to, you know, the overworked underfunded public school system, like,
right,
there has to be more resources put into these
protection of minors.
Yeah, the just
so then we take this
no, we
off.
Can't blame the we can't cannot blame the people themselves, I don't think.
So the local authorities, if anything. Okay, we still have a lot.
Yeah, what about taking advantage of Billy's family situation? Is that just folded into Mary Kay herself?
Yeah, I mean, that's like predatory behavior, yeah. Which
and we have religion on the board. Still.
Still.
Yeah. Double standards, media, sex-obsessed 90s.
I think we can get rid of religion. It feels a little too vague for this particular thing.
I would fold that into like
the
her parents.
Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trauma. We don't have trauma on here, but
we don't.
She did have a lot of childhood trauma.
She did. I feel like that kind of goes into, to me, that's like part of the repression, is part of the parents.
Yeah.
It's part of
That makes sense.
Her brother in there. Drowned in a pool, right?
Yeah.
And the molestation, right?
Yeah. And the other brother, right.
Dad was having a secret life.
Right.
Yeah. We did not talk about trauma. That's, you know.
There was an account I read that said that after the friends came out and said that she had told them that she was being molested by the brother, mm-hmm. she just kind of downplayed it and said, oh, no, it wasn't that bad because I was able to tell them to stop or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. Which to me is wow. The psychology behind that is.
Yeah.
God, that's awful.
So what are we doing here? We still have.
Yeah, we have.
We need to give a slap, and we have to send something to the alarmist jail. The adultification of children of color. I mean, I do think that's a part.
Does that go into?
I think that goes into double standard.
Yeah, yes. I was gonna say
another double standard.
And does 90s media go into the double standards too?
I don't know. They feel like their own beast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the double standards, like all these things, it feels, even though it's like encapsulating so many different, very specific elements of this case, if we blame double standards, it just would feel a little bit flat for me. Mm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, it's like, a contender for the slap.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's such a big part of this case.
Right.
It's really hard to do this on this case because there's everything is so interconnected. It's like, who do you actually blame? Like, that's you kind of, a little blame is on everyone. And the.
So then,
anyway. Right. I mean, but certainly, yeah. I mean, okay, Mary Kay, even though she had trauma, even though she had a horrible upbringing, even though the culture was not really saying this was bad to do, I think.
I think she could go to jail.
Yeah, yeah, I feel comfortable placing blame on her. And then
the
question
big slap,
is the big slap.
I mean, I wonder if the big slap is the culture. Is that too broad? Is that too vague?
No, I don't think so.
Because it's like the culture, it's the media, it's double standards, it's sexism, it's racism, it's adultification.
Yeah.
I like
Dawson's
that.
Dawson's Creek.
Yes. We keep going.
Bill Clinton. I don't know.
So should we change it to 90s culture?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the 90s culture. Okay.
Because so then we'll slap that. From your show, Jessica, things change in retrospect.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this happened today, it would be different, though I'm not sure it would be.
Right.
Perfect. I don't know.
No, right, it definitely wouldn't be perfect. Okay, I'm going to call it. The 90s culture, you're getting the big slap. Mary Kay Letourneau, you're going to the alarmist jail. Jessica, I mean, thank you so much. I feel like we couldn't have done this without you.
Well, thank you.
I mean,
I feel good about our decisions.
Yeah, me too. I think we really got in there.
I just really feel for the children.
Yeah.
Of them. The two of them. Oof.
Yeah, they didn't ask for any of this, and then they have to deal with all this stuff.
And now there's a blockbuster Oscar contending
movie.
Yeah. And it just feels never ending. Yeah. Thank you for being with us to kind of like rediscover this case from the 90s that really should have been taken way more seriously by all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me.
In the aftermath, since the passing of Mary Kay Letourneau, Willy Fallau has largely tried to avoid media attention. In December of 2023, his daughter posted on Instagram that she was pregnant,
making the 40-year-old Falau a soon-to-be grandfather. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram @thealarmistpodcast and on Twitter @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the assassination of Julius Caesar. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.